and snagged a bottle of bourbon from the top shelf. She may have just closed the book on who put Nash's name on that list, I said, keeping my voice low. I'm all ears. Nolan looked at ease, leaning against the bar, but his eyes were constantly scanning the room. You could take the man out of the marshal service, but you couldn't take the marshal out of the man, I supposed. The bartender delivered the bottle and glasses with a hesitant fold at the waist.
Did that guy just bow to you?
Nolan asked. It happens, I said. He shook his head and sighed.
To walk in your shoes for just a day?
It's not nearly as entertaining as it looks, I muttered.
Oh, I'd find a way to have some fun, he insisted.
He probably would. Some people were cut out for a life like that. Each day was an endless source of entertainment and enjoyment. Sloane's life would be like that. She'd choose a man who would make her laugh, who'd be home for dinners, who'd wake her up on a lazy Sunday morning with an adventure planned. My jaw clenched. I was important, respected, and feared. Yet all I could think about for the past week was Sloane's accusation that I'd wasted my life on the wrong things. Tate Dilton, I said, keeping my voice low. Nolan's gaze landed back on me.
You've got to be shitting me.
I shook my head. She mentioned a family party of Metzer's that Dilton crashed. He made a show of getting close to his family, probably to drive home a point of just how close he could get.
Playing a little look at me eating your mom's potato salad and playing horseshoes with Uncle Joe, so you better not fuck me over,
Nolan mused. That's what it sounds like. And Metzer disappeared while Dilton was still alive, so it's possible he's the answer to both questions.
That would leave only Hugo on the revenge list. And since you're already working with you-know-who on that, it sounds as if your to-do list just got a lot shorter.
I grunted. But why would he have put Nash's name on the list and then be the one to pull the trigger? Nolan shrugged.
The guy was an opportunistic egomaniac. He saw a chance to take out the guy who booted his buddy from his job. Then he got the opportunity to get paid to be the one to do the taking out. Hated him enough to want him out of the picture, but not enough to make it happen until someone sweetened the pot with a cash offer.
It made sense in that it was a stupid move, and Tate Dilton had been full of stupid moves. I frowned over my drink.
I don't like the connection to Felix and the feuding Hugo father and son. How would a crooked small-town cop land on any of their radar?
Criminals are like one big inbred family. Dilton didn't just suddenly up and go bad like an avocado. That boy had been rotting from the inside for a long time. He could have done a favor here for Daddy Hugo and worked a job with Hugo Jr. over there. Hell, you know, a bunch of bad guys sit down for a friendly poker game when one henchman says he's looking for a getaway driver and another henchman says, I got a guy.
That's possible, I agreed. You've seen Dilton's finances? That dumbass was sitting on a lot more money than just a cop's salary. It didn't all have to come from the same employer.
Raucous laughter echoed from the opposite end of the U-shaped bar, where several men were gathered in a tight circle. Probably around a woman, I guessed. Nolan sniffed the bourbon appreciatively, then sipped.
Damn, that's good. Do they just keep a bottle here for you in case you show up?
It pays to own the hotel, I said dryly. Of course there were drawbacks, like the hungry eyes zeroing in on me. Some wanted to make deals. Others wanted to stand close enough for a photo op. Still others wanted to get even closer in hopes of being chosen for a more intimate kind of fun.
Ever get the feeling like you're in a zoo? Nolan asked observantly.
I smirked. Only every day.
You could try being less handsome. I mean, I'm a straight guy, but even I know a suit daddy when I see one. Maybe shave the beard. Lose a few teeth, he suggested.
A tall blonde wandered by with a seductive swing to her hips. She was dressed in Alexander McQueen, and I could smell her cloying perfume from 6 feet away. The hair was what caught my eye, but I immediately rejected her. She didn't have green eyes and glasses.
Damn it.
I set my glass down with a snap. Ever since she'd shown up at my office, it felt like Sloane had infiltrated this life too. Not just the one I carried on periodically in Knockemout.
I needed to get her out of my head. I'd tried everything over the years, except one thing. That one thing slammed into me like a train. The fastest way for me to get bored with a woman had always been to take her to bed. Sex always triggered a countdown clock. Once the hunt was over, so was the interest for me. A vision of Sloane perched on my desk, her thighs and lips open for me, had my blood racing to my cock. So, if that fuck-faced Dilton is the one, then it's case closed. At least on that end of things, Nolan said, oblivious to my predicament. I gritted my teeth and willed my body to have some fucking self-respect. As long as Anthony Hugo doesn't get it in his head to revisit the list, I said. It would be stupid, not to mention pointless. The CIs who stuck around after finding out Hugo had a target on them were all shipped off courtesy of WITSEC. If anything happens to any cop on that list, Hugo knows he's the first person they'll look at, he pointed out. Let's make sure it was Dilton, I decided. Nolan nodded. I'll have one of our guys or gals pay Metzer's family a visit and see if they remember him. Maybe Metzer told one of them something about the prick. Do it. There was another burst of merriment, accompanied by a flash of blonde. This one did have green eyes and glasses. Sloane Walton, in bloody murder red, was in the center of a circle of men vying for her attention. Every muscle in my body went rigid. The erection I'd almost willed away was back in full force. Of all the hotels in all the capitals, Nolan muttered. You want me to stick around to make sure you don't need help disposing of a bunch of bodies? No, go away. I'll have Petula ready with bail money, he said, putting his empty glass on the bar and tossing me a salute. I was already on the move, the gravitational force of Sloane pulling me across the bar like it was an inevitable event. Every step that brought me closer made me angrier, more frustrated. I didn't want to want her, but I didn't want anyone else wanting her either. Wading my way through her admirers set my teeth on edge. She was sitting on a bar stool in a dress and lipstick that arrested the attention of any red-blooded male within a 30-foot radius. What are you doing here? I demanded crisply. She tilted her head back to look up at me as I loomed over her. Those red lips pinched into a disapproving frown.
Oh, no, not today, Satan.
Can I buy you another drink? The guy on her right asked, trying to reclaim her attention. No, you can't. Go home, I snapped. Sloane bared her teeth at me before turning to the moron, hoping to get lucky.
Don't listen to him. He's permanently insufferable, she said, laying her hand on his sleeve.
Two of the younger men behind her were whispering. I heard my name mentioned. Good. The sooner this flock of idiots realized who I was and that I didn't want them anywhere near her, the better.
It was nice to meet you, Sloane, the blonde one with too many teeth said, shooting me a nervous glance.
Yeah, we have to, His friend and too-tight Hugo boss hooked a thumb toward the door. Go, I snarled. Most of the crowd scampered off like half-terrified squirrels.
What is your problem, Lucifer?
Sloane demanded. The answer is always you. She slid off her stool and marched up to me.
I have an idea. Why don't you go fuck yourself and leave me alone with... What was your name again?
She asked, looking toward the man who obviously didn't know any better.
Porter,
he said with a thick southern accent. Porter. I rolled my eyes. He was too eager, too.
Shucks, ma'am. And I hated the fact that he made Sloane smile. I'll make you a deal, Porter. I'll pay your bar tab, including the drinks you've already bought my wife, if you leave in the next 10 seconds.
Your wife? He sputtered.
I'm going to murder you with an olive skewer, Sloane hissed.
Maybe I couldn't make her smile, but I was the one who made the color rise in those smooth cheeks. I was the one who started the emerald fire in her eyes. Porter held up both palms and took a self-preserving step back.
I'm so sorry, man. I had no idea.
His eyes darted back to the impressive cleavage on display above the square neckline of Sloane's dress.
If it doesn't work out, you go on and give me a call. The power of the woman's draw was enough to override any instincts for self-preservation. I knew the feeling. Sloane and I were too busy scowling at each other to watch him leave.
Lena was right.
You're a cock-blocker, Rollins, she said, climbing back up on her bar stool. The bartender appeared eagerly in front of her.
Can I get you something, Sloane? He asked.
No, the lady was just leaving, I said icily. Sloane rested her elbows on the bar and cupped her chin.
Don't listen to the tall dark lord of the underworld. I'd love another dirty martini.
The bartender's eyes skated to me again. I shook my head.
Sorry, Sloane. Boss won't let me, he said, and disappeared down the bar.
She spun around on her stool.
The boss? You own this place?
I couldn't focus on her words, only her mouth. Those red slicked lips that had tortured and taunted me for years.
Are you here with someone? I demanded, drawing out the stool next to hers and sitting.
I was about to be until you went all you on my starting line.
I closed my eyes. She wasn't here on a date. She was here to get laid. One night, and we could put this all behind us finally. You're not picking up a stranger in my hotel. Her spine straightened, and she lifted her glass. Her nails were painted a sparkly purple. She wore a trio of bracelets on her right wrist and dangling earrings that danced when she moved.
Fine, she said.
She drained the last of her martini and set the glass down on the bar.
I'll pick one up someplace else.
She shifted on her stool to turn away from me, but I was faster. I gripped the suede cushion between her parted thighs and dragged her closer. The little gasp that escaped her lips had my cock stirring. We both stared down at my hand she was now straddling. The hem of her dress tickled my thumb. Her smooth, bare thighs caressed the sides of my fist. I could feel the heat from her core. I pulled the stool even closer until her legs slid between my own, an inch, maybe two. That was all that separated the heel of my hand from the heat of her core.
Have you lost your already addled mind? She hissed.
But she didn't push me away, didn't slap me like I deserved. No, the woman put here on this earth with the sole purpose of irritating me spread her thighs ever so slightly wider. It was a trap, I was sure of it. Probably, I admitted. I signaled the bartender for another round. The poor kid looked moderately scared. The feel of her caged between my legs was intoxicating. It had been a stupid move designed to get a rise out of her, yet I was the one with a stone-hard erection and elevated heart rate.
Can't you just go back to your evil lair and forget we ran into each other? She asked.
Go home with the knowledge that she was picking out a lover and taking him back to her hotel room? That she was undressing for him, letting him see things I'd never earned the right to see, letting him touch places I could only dream of? Her breasts rose against the confines of her dress. There was nothing subtle about the view the square neckline provided.
Why are you here? I demanded again.
To get laid, and you're really messing with my mojo?
My jaw tightened.
Go ahead. Say something, so I can give you the sex-shaming lecture before I kick you in the balls, she challenged.
It was a legitimate threat. If she moved forward, her knees would be within striking distance. I thought you were getting serious about dating, I said. She shrugged, and the motion drew my attention back to her cleavage. My cock throbbed painfully against my zipper.
I am, she corrected. I just haven't met anyone worth dating, let alone anyone I'd let give me a few orgasms. So, here I am. Sex is a good stress reliever.
So you're just going to pick up a complete stranger and let him touch you?
You do not get to judge, Rollins. I'm willing to bet you've had more than your fair share of uncomplicated one-night stands.
I'm not judging, I lied. She peered over my shoulder at a man ordering a beer, and my grip tightened on her stool. No, I said.
You need to back off, or I'm going to end up wasting a night in a hotel room with my vibrator.
Spots danced before my eyes. She squirmed almost imperceptibly on the stool. The movement brought her forward, giving my hand a brush of hot satin, just as her knees settled against the ridge of my dick. Fuck. Those green eyes widened. Her ruby lips parted, and there was no mistaking the quickening of her breath. Hot, damp flesh taunted me from the other side of her fuck-me underwear. I was tired of fighting. Tired of fighting with her. Tired of fighting my baser desires. It was self-destructive to want the only woman who had shattered my life, who'd broken my trust, who had landed me behind bars and very nearly ruined my life before it had even begun. Yet here I was, closer than I'd ever been before, and still not close enough. "What if you didn't pick up a stranger?" I said, shifting my hand just enough to press harder against her sex. Her nostrils flared delicately, making the stud in her nose sparkle. But she still hadn't moved away, still hadn't threatened to rearrange my face.
"What exactly are you suggesting?"
"I'm suggesting you go upstairs now, with me." Her long lashes fluttered behind her glasses, and she shook her head.
"You're fucking with me, aren't you?"
"You're here, I'm here. It's been a while for me, too." I wanted to shift my hand, to hook my finger in the band of satin that stood in my way. I wanted to slide it to the side and stroke my knuckles over that soft, tempting flesh.
"We can't stand to be in the same room together. What makes you think I'd let you inside me?"
Inside her. She was teasing me now, planting images in my mind of how she'd look the first time I drove into her. The pulse at the base of her throat fluttered. Her breasts rose and fell as her breath came in short, delicate pants. "It's an itch that needs scratching, not the beginning of a relationship," I said dryly.
"Your capacity for romance knows no bounds."
"What's the one thing we haven't tried to stop, whatever this is between us?" I pressed.
"Murder?"
"Sex," I countered. She blinked, and the color rose in her cheeks.
"You're serious?"
"One night," I offered. "We get this insanity out of our systems."
"We don't even like each other. How am I supposed to let someone I don't like do naked things to me?"
I let the heel of my hand press harder. "Because I'll make it feel so good you won't care." Her pupils were dilated, candy red lips parted. Our drinks appeared on the bar, but neither of us looked at them. "Of course, if you don't think you could control your feelings," I began. She tossed her head back.
"You can't double-dog dare me to get in bed with you, smartass."
A man in Armani sidled up behind her and leaned on the bar. Sloan, sensing new quarry, peered over her shoulder. She flashed him the sunny smile that I never got out of her. The idiot looked as if he'd won the lottery, then glanced at me. "No," I said coldly. I held his gaze and stroked my thumb over the middle of the damp spot I found on Sloan's underwear. She jolted, nearly knocking over her drink. To steady herself, she gripped my arms.
"You sneaky son of a bitch," she hissed.
Her knee was now pressed firmly against my balls. "Either you and I go upstairs now, or I shadow you for the rest of the night," I warned.
"You devious bastard,"
decide.
"Fine," she said with a careless shrug. "I'll fuck your brains out for one night only, but don't think this means anything."
This victory was a sweeter, headier rush than any I could remember. "You have 5 seconds to finish your drink," I told her, signaling the bartender again. She picked up her martini, eyes narrowed. 5, 4, 3. She took one fortifying gulp, then put the glass on the bar. The look she sent my way was the definition of antagonistic. Neither of us was walking away this time. With a mix of reluctance and anticipation, I removed my hand from between her legs and coasted my fingertips down her thighs. "Let's go." I threw some cash on the bar, gripped her arm, and pulled her toward the elevators. As I did, I brushed my thumb over my lips and savored the faint flavor of Sloan Walton.
21. The dumbest, hottest mistake I ever made. Sloane. It was the longest elevator ride of my life, and my room was only on the fourth floor. The atmosphere between us was charged with something that felt like lightning. We didn't touch, didn't look at each other. We both just stared straight ahead at the brushed gold doors. His stony, silent presence made it feel like the car was closing in on me. This was a bonkers idea. It was so stupid, I still wasn't sure I was going to say yes once we got to my room. Could two people who rubbed each other so wrong figure out how to rub each other the right way for just one night? Doubtful. This was definitely a mistake. A big, dumb mistake. But at least I'd finally know, I rationalized as the elevator doors opened and we exited. Maybe I owed it to my teenage self. I could put the years of what if to rest and move on. Besides, it had been months since I'd even been kissed, let alone properly laid. There was also the possibility that he would be terrible in bed. That thought cheered me considerably. One mediocre roll in the hay and Lucian Rollins would be out of my system forever.
Never play poker.
Lucian's sudden proclamation had me blinking as I dug through my clutch for the key card. What? Why? He shook his head.
Your face broadcasts every thought like an open book.
I scoffed. It does not. He took the card from my hand and opened my door.
The only way sex will be disappointing is if it's your fault.
My mouth fell open. That's not what I was thinking, I lied. And if the sex is bad, it's 100% your fault. I'm great at sex.
We'll see,
he said before pushing me across the threshold into the room. It was a nice space chosen with the practicality of a one-night stand in mind. There was a fluffy king-size bed with the extra pillows I'd asked for. The bathroom had flattering lighting and a tiled walk-in shower. And best of all, there was an extensive 24-hour room service menu I could order off once I'd kicked Lucian to the curb. He shut the door and locked it, then turned to face me. I swallowed hard, suddenly feeling like Little Red Riding Hood coming face to face with the big bad wolf. He was so big, so frowny. He was looking at me like I'd pissed him off somehow in the last 4 seconds. Nervously, I wet my lips and caught the interest in those cold gray eyes. He was standing, legs braced, hands fisted at his sides, staring me down like I was the enemy. Or a conquest. Were we really about to do this? Would this end up being just one more dirty little secret between the two of us? We should discuss ground rules, I announced. Lucian set my key card down with a snap on the table, his eyes no longer cold. Now they smoldered with a heat that licked at my skin. What had I been saying? Oh, right. Rules. Rules were good. I don't think we should kiss. I didn't get to finish the sentence because Lucian's hand snaked out, gripped my wrist, and yanked me into him. Hard. I was off balance and fell into his chest. My bones reverberated from the collision of our bodies. And then his mouth crashed down on mine. Dear God. There was nothing icy about the man against me. He was hot and hard. I opened my mouth to breathe or insult him, but he took advantage and his tongue swept past my lips. It plundered as it went, turning my insults into unintelligible, needy moans. It was pure possession. With one kiss, Lucian held my body captive. He kissed like he'd invented it, and I followed his lead as if I had no choice in the matter. He dragged his mouth away from mine and swore. Fuck, he muttered, glaring down at me. Problem? It came out as a breathless taunt.
You're my problem, he growled. I shoved at the unyielding chest beneath the crisp button-down. If you're just going to fight with me, I'm going back to the bar. I made it exactly 2 inches in the direction of the door before his hands were on me again. A delicious sense of triumph rolled up my spine. It was the biggest win I'd scored against him in years. His self-control was, in my opinion, infuriating. This time, he didn't just pull me to him. He lifted me off the floor and pinned me against the closest wall with his body. My feet dangled inches above the carpet as his king-size erection lodged itself against me, effectively skewering me to the wall like a butterfly in a shadow box. I was a lust-filled rag doll, and his casual show of strength had my vagina swooning. He looked at me like he wanted to destroy me, and I loved it. There was no hiding behind a cold, calculating mask now. The man may have had a poker face, but there was no such thing as a poker dick. As if to demonstrate, he rolled his hips, thrusting powerfully against me. I groaned irritably against his mouth. Of course you have a big dick.
And of course you're disappointed by that fact when I'm about to fuck you with it,
he shot back. I hitched my thighs around his hips as high as my dress would allow. I'd always thought the whole all-powerful, shadowy puppet master thing was an overcompensation for a cocktail wiener.
Your fucking mouth, he growled.
He used both hands to shove the skirt of my dress up around my hips. I gasped as his erection lodged itself against my pretty one-night-stand panties. What about it?
It's why you have to troll bars for unsuspecting men. Why you aren't dating. Why you're not married with 4 kids.
He punctuated each sentence with another bruising kiss. Yeah? Well, at least it's not my personality. You're stupidly hot and ridiculously rich, and even that isn't enough to keep a girlfriend for longer than a few weeks. I nipped his lower lip with my teeth and he hissed. He pulled back a few inches, leaving us connected below the waist.
How would you know that, unless you've been paying attention?
He was teasing me, body, mind, and soul, and for the first time, it occurred to me that I might not be up to the challenge. I don't pay attention to anything that involves you, I insisted. I hate being bored. His exhale was closer to a growl than a sigh. With one hand, he took both my wrists and pinned them over my head.
God damn it. Why are you so fucking small?
He gritted out the words like they physically pained him. His next kiss was tempered, restrained. My eyelids popped open. Lucian Rollins was afraid of hurting me.
The big, evil asshole was afraid of fucking me too hard with his giant penis.
Jesus, big guy. I'm petite, not fragile. Get over it.
Just because I want you out of my life doesn't mean I want to hurt you.
I gripped his waist with my thighs and squeezed. Either fuck me hard and fast, or get out of my room so I can find someone who will. I don't want to be treated like some glass figurine.
You always think you can handle more than you can, he said,
removing his hand from my wrists and curling his fingers into the neckline of my dress. And you always think I'm weaker than I am, I hissed. With one sharp tug of his fingers, the fabric ripped all the way to my belly button and my breasts spilled free.
Christ.
Lucian's nostrils flared, and his gaze scored my chest, making my nipples pucker, my breasts feel swollen and heavy. For a moment, the only sound in the room was us panting. Damn it, Lucifer! You owe me a new one-night stand dress!
Try going downstairs now.
His words were a low rumble of thunder. My nipples hardened to rosy points. "You think I don't have a backup dress in that bag?" I taunted. I leaned forward until my lips brushed his ear. "That one shows even more cleavage." I nipped his earlobe and felt the shudder that rolled through him.
"You're not leaving this room," he vowed.
My snarky comeback was lost as he filled his hands with my breasts. My head fell back against the wall with a thunk. His palms were warm and firm against my soft, sensitive flesh. I'd developed early and spent my teen years wishing the puberty fairy hadn't been quite so generous, but in this moment, it was all worth it. My stoic enemy couldn't suppress a groan of satisfaction as his hot mouth closed over one meaty nipple and began to suck. I gasped. I didn't mean to. It seemed safer, smarter, to control my outward reactions. But the hungry pulls of his mouth, the throb of his God-given erection between my legs, had my head spinning. His mouth was performing magic with tongue and suction. His eyes were closed, fringed with long, dark lashes. What he was doing to me didn't feel like a byproduct of hate. It felt like reverence. His beard was deliciously rough against my skin. His cologne enveloped me like a euphoric fog. I bucked against his thick, hard shaft, against the heat of his body, begging for more, begging to be taken and used and pleasured. Too soon, he released me from his mouth, leaving my nipples straining and wet.
"We have one night," he said.
"Then take your shirt off so we can get started." He nuzzled his cheek against my breast, sending arrows of fire straight to my core.
"This isn't the beginning of something," he warned.
His tongue darted out and danced over the other puckered peak. I sucked in a breath. "Do you always talk your dates to death before you have sex?"
"I'm simply making sure we're on the same page."
"I can't tell if you're talking to me or my boobs, but frankly, we're all in agreement. I could never date a smoker. This is just sex. Don't make me regret choosing you tonight." His gray eyes danced with sterling fire, the corner of his mouth lifted in a confident smirk. With an expert upthrust against me, he filled his hands with my breasts, and I lost my train of thought. I attacked his tie, nearly choking him in an effort to loosen it, but he was too fixated on my chest to notice the lack of oxygen. The hot suction of his mouth was driving me mad, and I was already dangerously close to coming thanks to the position of his cock against me. Tie finally freed, I shoved his jacket off his shoulders. He abandoned my breasts with an irritable snarl that I felt in my core, and shed his jacket. I managed to register the fact that he was too busy fondling me to pick up and fold his clothes, as I'd assumed sexy time Lucian would.
"You're smiling," he said accusingly.
"No, I'm not," I snapped, forcing the corners of my mouth down.
"The only thing I want your mouth doing tonight is opening to say my name."
"Really? That's the only thing?" I smirked. In response, Lucian pulled me away from the wall. Less than a heartbeat later, I was flat on my back on the bed and he was kneeling between my legs, his hands guiding my knees wider as he stared heavy-lidded at what was revealed to him.
"Fuck," he muttered, staring down between my legs at what I could only assume was the wettest thong in the history of thongery.
His hands slid from my knees and fisted at his sides. Another display of self-control. I'd had enough of it. I wanted him off the leash. I reached for his belt. "Lose the shirt." He hesitated for the barest of seconds before complying. He worked the buttons free with one hand while the other loosely collared my neck. a show of dominance I found, well, honestly, I found it fucking hot. I yanked his belt open and got to work on his fly. His erection was straining so hard against the fabric, it was a damn wonder it hadn't ripped free yet. He probably had a tailor reinforce all his crotch seams. With his zipper finally opened, the treasure I sought was barely contained by a silky pair of black boxer briefs. Lucian ripped the shirt down his arms, baring his disgustingly awesome torso. There was muscle, a lot of it. The scars I'd known he had were gone. In their place were tattoos. My heart lurched. Without thinking, I ran my finger over one long, silvery imperfection over his ribs. The scar had been partially camouflaged with an inked griffin, a symbol of strength and power. Lucian sucked in a breath as if I'd hurt him somehow, then shoved the remains of my dress up to my waist. "That's better," I said, rewarding his show of impatience by smugly sliding my palm up the length of his shaft. He was so thick, so hard now that the blunt crown had breached the waistband of his underwear. He towered over me, one hand behind me on the mattress, the other he used to stroke my cheek, my jaw, my neck. Our eyes met. I didn't recognize what I found in his, but it took my breath away. His gaze bored into me, an unbreakable connection. As we stared straight into each other's souls, he released my face and trailed his fingers all the way down my torso to the naughty red satin that covered my center.
"You're fucking soaked and I haven't even touched you yet."
He sounded annoyed by that fact. "What's your point?" I retorted.
"Is it for me? Or was it for one of them downstairs?"
"Does it matter?" His thumb pressed against the wet spot, causing my legs to spasm around his hips. My empty channel pulsed greedily, craving more.
"It matters."
He gritted the words out. Rather than answer him, I hooked my fingers in the band of his briefs and yanked the silky material away from my prize. I barely managed to swallow my gasp. King size didn't do it justice. Lucian Rollins was the proud owner of the biggest cock I'd ever seen in my life. "Jesus, Lucifer, what do your dates usually do? Unhinge their jaws?" I demanded. His eyes seemed to glow as he looked down at me.
"You and your fucking mouth."
He looked like he wanted to punish me for the last 2 decades of misery, and some dark, depraved part of me wanted him to try. "What are you going to do about it?" I taunted, gripping the thick base of his shaft. His nostrils flared and a bead of moisture welled up from the slit in his crown. My entire focus zeroed in on his thick, rigid erection. I was going to come so fucking hard. If I could get him to fuck me from behind, I could muffle my screams in a pillow so he wouldn't know. Women had been faking orgasms for centuries. I could fake not having one. And wouldn't that throw him for a loop? I liked the idea of getting off while dinging his self-confidence.
"Whatever it is you're plotting, it won't work," he said.
"I have no idea what you're talking about," I lied, and began to stroke the thick column of flesh. I saw a flash of teeth, the narrowing of his eyes, and then nothing, because in one swift move, he yanked my thong to the side and thrust 2 fingers inside me. "Lucian!" So much for muffling my pleasure. I was so wet, so hot, my sex practically sucked him in deeper. The untended muscles of my inner walls spasmed around him. He swore darkly, and his cock flexed in my hand.
"Don't come."
The order was delivered through gritted teeth. "Bite me,"
Don't tempt me, Pixie. I want to be inside you the first time you come. I want to feel you fall apart.
The first time? I scoffed. Mr. Big Dick had an ego the size of, well, his gargantuan penis. I was a one-and-done kind of gal. Multiples were for romance novel heroines. And Naomi and Lena.
Then you'd better hurry the hell up, I warned. I shoved my other hand between our bodies and cupped his heavy sack and double-timed my strokes. I needed him to be as close as I was. I needed him to feel as out of control as I did. He glared down at me, jaw tight, muscles tensed. He looked as though he were hanging on by one thin thread. I gripped harder. His hands were in my dress again. There was a rending of fabric, and the entire thing fell open, leaving me in just my underwear and stilettos.
Safe word,
he demanded as his hand covered mine on his dick.
You're either severely overestimating your prowess, or once again underestimating what I can handle.
Give me your safe word, Pix.
He enunciated the sentence as if I were both aggravating and stupid. If it'll get you to move things along, fine. Library.
Good girl, he growled.
I didn't know what it said about me, but those two words delivered so gruffly from him had my inner walls spasming around his fingers.
Fuck, he muttered.
Can we get this show on the road? I demanded. If he so much as crooked his fingers, I was going to come all over him, and I preferred to do that on his monster penis.
He glared down at me.
You're so beautiful, and so goddamn irritating at the same time.
I get that a lot. Condoms are in my clutch, I announced.
Reluctantly, Lucian withdrew his fingers. I didn't quite manage to smother my moan.
Christ, how much sex were you expecting to have?
He demanded, dangling a roll of foil-wrapped birth control over me. I shrugged. There's more in the nightstand. I guess I probably won't need more than one since I ended up with you.
Lucian pushed my hands away from his dick and rolled on a condom over what had to be a Guinness World Record penis.
You'd be a lot more attractive if you'd shut up.
Your dick doesn't seem to mind my mouth, I pointed out. I was going for sheer bravado at this point, because it had suddenly occurred to me I could be on the receiving end of a serious vaginal injury from an appendage of that girth.
Would people take one look at my gait tomorrow and know that Lucian had fucked the ability to walk out of me? Would my one-night stand destroy my ability to stand? Lucian took the long, thick shaft in one hand and guided the tip to my slick entrance. My knees shifted higher of their own accord, making the corner of his mouth curl in amusement.
Someone's eager.
Are you going to loom over me all night, or do something interesting? I demanded.
In response, he dragged the crown of his shaft through my slick folds, pausing to nudge my already swollen clit. The promise of it had my core contracting. I tried to bow off the bed, but his hand on my chest held me in place. Again and again he moved over my sex, spearing himself between my spread legs until my thighs trembled and he'd spread my wetness everywhere.
Jesus, I was going to have to call housekeeping for a fresh set of sheets when this was over, since he'd turned my own body into one gigantic wet spot.
Neither of us could deny the attraction now, and I was 1,000% sure he was going to make me come. I'd just have to pretend I wasn't.
Lucian paused mid-thrust, and my ab muscles went into spasm. There was nothing holding him back from jamming that gigantic penis inside me. I let my knees fall open and reveled at the feel of him against my flesh. An insistent, throbbing pressure built inside me. If either one of us moved a millimeter, he'd officially be inside me. And damn it, I wanted it. I wanted him.
"Look at me,"
he commanded. I opened my eyes and tried to keep my expression neutral. "Why?"
"Because I want to see your eyes when I take you."
Gulp. "Then hurry the hell up, because I'm about to fall asleep from boredom here." I felt his muscles coil under my palms, against my torso and thighs. He entered me with one vicious thrust. Time stopped. Oxygen ceased to exist. Everything I knew to be true flew from my head to make room for one crystal clear realization. Lucian Rollins was inside me.
"Breathe, Sloane."
The command sounded pained. I sucked in a wheezy breath.
"Christ, baby, I need you to relax."
Lucian's forehead met mine.
"You don't have all of it yet."
I didn't have all of it yet? I was already stretched to max capacity. I was one tiny wiggle away from orgasming all over however many inches he'd managed to cram inside me.
"Again, Pix, breathe for me,"
he ordered. I managed a deeper breath this time and felt my muscles give ever so slightly.
"That's my girl."
His voice was a rough caress.
"Again."
This time the oxygen came easier. I forced myself to relax, muscle by muscle, until I was no longer clinging to the man like a horny barnacle. "Okay, I think I..." Lucian fucked the thought right out of my head. I had him all. Every throbbing inch of him had invaded. I was pinned to the bed on the verge of supreme sexual satisfaction, and there was no going back. I screamed something unintelligible.
"Fuck," he rasped.
Oh no, it was happening. I felt it building in my body. Two thrusts, and Lucian Rollins was about to make me come. The early tremors began. I could feel those delicate little muscles fluttering over his hard flesh. I had to hide it, had to pretend it wasn't happening. A rumble let loose in Lucian's chest. He was scowling at me, into me, like he was pissed off that it felt so good. I wasn't happy about it either. And then he moved, and I forgot what I was thinking, because I was falling apart. The orgasm detonated inside me, ripping through my body and annihilating everything that had ever existed before Lucian's cock entered me. I rippled, convulsed, writhed around him, clinging to him with nails and teeth as colors burst behind my eyelids like an erotic fireworks display. Every inch of me, from my glittery toenails to the roots of my hair, participated in the ecstasy. This wasn't the best orgasm of my life, because this wasn't an orgasm. This was a life-altering religious experience. It rolled on and on, wave after wave of pleasure. I was trembling from the aftershocks, each one more satisfying than any orgasm I'd ever had in my entire sexual career.
"You just came on my cock."
I pried one eye open to peer into his unfairly handsome face. He looked smug, as to be expected. But there was something else there. Wonder? Awe? Possession? "I did not. You're mistaken," I panted. My throat hurt, which I found odd. Was I coming down with something? Had Lucian's giant penis thrust so far into my body that I got a sore throat?
"You just screamed, 'Lucian, I'm coming,' loud enough that I'm probably going to have to call down to security to assure them everything is fine."
That explained the sore throat. "Well, that was fun and all. I think I'll go back down to the bar and..." Lucian showed me exactly what he thought of that empty threat by sealing his mouth over mine and driving into the very depths of me. His long, hard body pressed mine deeper into the mattress as he thrust with expert precision. Even now, he was so controlled, and I felt like I was spinning off into space. I dug my nails into his shoulders. "Stop treating me like I'm going to break!" He stilled, another annoying display of willpower.
"Believe it or not, I don't want to hurt you.
Unless you hit me in the eye with that nightstick between your legs, you're not going to hurt me. You've got this one night to fuck me any way you want me. Don't waste it being some gentle giant."
"Sloane."
He packed quite the ominous warning into my name. But there was a spark, a question in those liquid silver eyes. "Lucian." I gripped his face in my hands and dug my heels into his firm butt cheeks. "I want you to take me hard." It was what I needed, what he needed. If we were really going to get this out of our systems, we had to do it the right way. I felt the involuntary twitch of his cock inside me. He wanted it too. "I'll tell you if it's too much," I added.
"Promise?"
The question was a gravelly rasp. "I promise. Now fuck me like you mean it." The man delivered. He rose up on his knees, gripped my ass with his palms, and unleashed the beast within. My body accepted his brutally beautiful thrusts with something that felt like joy, which made absolutely no sense. There was something in his eyes that didn't match the grim set of his jaw. Something softer, brighter. I ignored it and shifted my legs restlessly as a warmth started to build in my core. Reading my mind, Lucian hooked my ankles over his shoulders and bent me in half. I was pinned, conquered, completely at his mercy. And I loved it. Sweat slicked our skin as our eyes met and locked as his body pumped into mine. The tendons in his neck stood out fiercely, and his biceps bulged as he relentlessly drove me toward heaven. Or maybe it was hell. It didn't matter. I was quivering from the inside out.
"Lucian!"
It was a low, keening wail. His erection seemed to swell even bigger, and he gritted his teeth.
"Damn you, pixie,"
he snarled. He brought one hand to my jaw, holding my head still. Those beautiful storm cloud eyes went glassy as I clamped down around him.
"Please,"
I whispered. I didn't know what I was asking for, what I wanted from him. But Lucian understood. He gave one final vicious upthrust, and his body went rigid. I didn't think. I just reached up and grabbed his face in my hands, and we stared into each other's eyes as I experienced my first, second orgasm of my life. A shout tore loose from his throat, and I felt him ejaculate. For one stupid, fleeting moment, I wished there wasn't anything between us. No protection to stop me from experiencing every sensation of Lucian's climax. He was moving again, short, jerky thrusts as he used my orgasm to milk his own. He used my body for his pleasure, and that made me come harder. We kept right on coming, muscles trembling, breath panting, as we stared into each other's eyes.
"This is the dumbest, hottest mistake I've ever made," I moaned.
22. Sloane to the rescue. Sloane, 22 years ago. 6 days. That was how long Lucian had been behind bars. He'd turned 18 and missed his own high school graduation because of me.
Well, technically because of his horrible, disgusting monster of a father, but also because I hadn't listened to him. I told my parents everything I knew the night Lucian was arrested. They hadn't been happy with me keeping that kind of secret from them. Their disappointment in me only made me feel worse. My dad had put everything on hold and was fighting tooth and nail to get Lucian out of county jail. From what I'd gathered through pointed questioning and blatant eavesdropping, Chief Ogden was pushing to charge Lucian as an adult. The judge seemed amiable and set the bail at an astronomical $250,000 during the arraignment, which I hadn't been allowed to attend. According to what Mom told Maeve over the phone, Dad had nearly had an aneurysm on the spot. I was listening outside his office later that day when he took a call from the district attorney, who had suggested Lucian accept a plea deal for 8 years in state prison. My father, one of the nicest, most polite human beings in the entire universe, told the DA to go fuck himself. Meanwhile, Mom had visited Lucian's mom twice since she got out of the hospital with a pair of broken ribs. Both times, the woman had refused to talk about Lucian or what really happened that night. She had also declined Mom's offer to let her come stay with us until things were sorted out. Ansel Rollins appeared to be behaving himself for the moment. I'd overheard my parents talking on the front porch the night before. Dad broached the subject of a second mortgage to Mom for Lucian's bond. "Darling, of course we'll do it. We can't leave him behind bars." In that moment, I realized what a privilege it was to grow up with good people for parents. I'd pressed my teary face up against the inside of the window screen and scared the shit out of them by yelling, "You can have my college fund too!" I came from a family of heroes and wasn't about to be left out, certainly not after my mistake had caused the current situation. I had a plan. I'd done enough research on abusive relationships over the past year that the librarian was starting to give me funny looks every week when I checked out a new batch of books. I knew I wasn't supposed to blame Mrs. Rollins. She was a victim of domestic abuse. I was savvy enough to understand that systemic abuse did things to the psyche that other people couldn't fathom. However, even with that in mind, a very large, very loud part of me wanted to tell her exactly what I thought of her choosing her dirtbag loser husband over her son. I felt dizzy every time I thought of the boy I adored behind bars for the crime of protecting his mother. So while my parents decided to move forward with coming up with bail money, I decided I was going to fix the whole damn mess. I was going to make it clear to everyone, including the blind-as-a-bat Chief Ogden, that Lucian Rollins wasn't the dangerous one in the family. I just needed the right opportunity. I thought of going to Lucian's friends, Knox and Nash Morgan, for help, but I didn't know how much they knew about Lucian's situation, and they were boys. They were more likely to go off half-cocked and screw up everything. It made sense to keep it to myself. What I needed was irrefutable proof of Ansel Rollins' villain status. To 16-year-old me, that meant video. After double-checking that Virginia was a single-party consent jurisdiction when it came to recording conversations, I squirreled away my parents' camcorder under my bed along with a mini tape recorder I borrowed from my friend Sherry. Every night, I stayed up late, sprawled on the window seat with my window open wide, listening, waiting with a sick mix of anticipation and dread churning in my stomach. I dropped the book I'd been ignoring onto the cushion and shot my legs up in the air above me. My toenails were purple, and both pinkies had already chipped. I'd painted them the day before Lucian got arrested, and since then everything else had seemed so frivolous. This wasn't how the summer before my junior year was supposed to go. I was supposed to be looking forward to the summer softball league that was starting in a week, the one where I was going to get scouted by one of my dream colleges. I was supposed to be accepting invitations to third base and making out, maybe even losing my virginity. I was supposed to be convincing Lucian that it was safe for him to go out into the world and live his life. Instead, I'd been the one to ruin any chance at that future. I sat up and peered morosely out the window. The look on his face when he'd seen me standing there as he was led to the police cruiser, when he realized I'd done the one thing he'd made me promise not to. I'd begged to be allowed to visit him at the county jail. Dad had diplomatically told me it wasn't a good idea, but I knew by the shifty look behind his glasses that Lucian didn't want to see me, because it was my fault he was there in the first place, because I'd broken that trust. I heard the chirp of tires, the squeal of brakes, and I popped up onto my knees. Mr. Rollins's pickup came to an abrupt stop in the driveway. He'd parked crooked, and he stumbled when he got out from behind the wheel. He slammed the door, but it bounced open again without his notice. I scrambled off the window seat and dove for the box under my bed. I stuffed the camera and the recorder in an NPR tote bag, shoved my feet in a pair of sneakers, and let myself out into the hall. I held my breath as I tiptoed to the stairs, ears straining for any noises coming from my parents' room on the opposite side of the house. They were going to be so pissed. I'd be grounded until I was 30. But the end justified the means. If I could show the police department irrefutable proof that put Mr. Rollins behind bars and freed Lucian, it would all be worth it. I detoured into my dad's office and grabbed the cordless phone off his desk. I wasn't sure if the signal would reach from next door, but I could at least run and dial 911 if necessary. Phone secured in the tote bag with the rest of my equipment, I unlocked the front door and slipped out into the night. I stumbled twice in my haste, my heart pounding louder the closer I got. There were lights on, upstairs and down. "Please be downstairs," I murmured to myself, wincing when I realized I was actually hoping that a woman was about to be attacked. I felt sick to my stomach as I stayed low and made my way up to the front window. This was going to work. It had to work. I heard voices, one soft and pleading, one raised. A shadow passed by the glass, and I ducked low in the overgrown flower bed. Something with thorns bit into my forearm. Every twig snap, every breath, every beat of my heart sounded like it was amplified. There was a dull thud inside, and an angry muttering. Carefully, I reached into the bag and produced the recorder. I didn't know if it was sensitive enough to pick up what was going on inside, but it was worth a try. I hit record and placed it on the skinny window ledge. I hauled out the camera, took off the lens cap, and fired it up. With a shaky breath, I stood up in the flower bed and peered through the camera lens. They were in the kitchen, Mr. Rollins prowling back and forth.
"I told you I expect dinner on the table when I get home," he barked loud enough for me to hear.
"It's almost midnight, asshole," I muttered under my breath. I caught a glimpse of Mrs. Rollins in a nightgown as she scurried past the kitchen door, shoulders hunched. He caught her by the elbow and slapped the plate out of her hand with a crash. A dog barked next door, one of Mrs. and Mr. Clemson's St. Bernards, scaring the heck out of me. Mr. and Mrs. Rollins disappeared from view, and I used the opportunity to pull out the cordless phone. But there was no dial tone. I was too far away from the base. He was shouting again inside, but I couldn't see anything. Shit, I needed to get a better view. Camera still rolling, I looped the bag over my shoulder and took off running around the side of the house. In the dark, I banged my hip off the rusty grill. But that pain was nothing compared to what Ansel Rollins was inflicting right now, I reminded myself. I limped around into the backyard to the rickety, rotting deck off the back of the house, and there, through the sliding glass door, I saw them. He backhanded her across the face hard enough that I gasped. His brutal grip on her arm kept Mrs. Rollins from folding to the floor.
"You disgust me, woman,"
he said and hurled her into the kitchen table.
"You make me fucking sick."
This had to be enough evidence, I decided, feeling pretty sick myself. Mrs. Rollins was crumpled in a dining chair like a wadded-up piece of paper. Silent sobs shook her frail shoulders. I hated him. I hated Ansel Rawlings for ever existing, for treating his wife like that, for forcing his son to stand between them. I hated the man with every fiber of my being.
"If you don't quit your bawling, I'll give you something to bawl about,"
he slurred. "Stop crying, Mrs. Rollins. Please stop crying." Suddenly, the woman's head came up. I saw her mouth moving, but couldn't make out what she was saying.
"What did you say?"
he snarled.
"I said, I have nothing because of you," she said, getting to her feet on shaky legs.
Tears were still streaming down her cheeks. "Oh, God." I tried the phone again, but there was still no dial tone.
"The only reason you have anything is because of me."
He moved into view, and every muscle in my body went tight when I saw what he was holding. He was drawing a long, serrated knife on a dish towel. I remembered Lucian's bloody arm, assault with a deadly weapon. I left the camcorder on the deck, angled toward the door, and ran. I was inside my house in seconds, dialing the phone and flipping light switches.
"Mom! Dad! He's hurting her again!"
I shrieked from the foot of the stairs. A light clicked on upstairs.
"We have to stop him!"
911, what's your emergency?
"Ansel Rollins is attacking his wife with a knife again, and if Wiley Ogden doesn't arrest him this time, I'm going to sue the entire police department!"
I shouted into the phone. I had to get back. I had to stop him or bear witness. I heard my parents' muffled voices coming from upstairs.
"Hurry!"
I said before dropping the phone on the floor and bolting back out the door. The tree frogs were still chirping outside, but I barely heard them as I sprinted across our driveway and into the Rollins' backyard. I landed on the deck with a flying leap. Through the glass door, I spied them. He had her pinned to the table, the knife to her throat. There was blood on the linoleum. Dogs were barking frantically now, but the rest of the neighborhood was still. I had no choice. He had to be stopped. I had to stop him. I picked up an old, cracked clay pot and, with a primal scream that came from the depths of my soul, hurled it into the glass. The door shattered, sending shards of glass and clay everywhere. Someone was calling my name, multiple someones from the sounds of it, but I couldn't scream back. I couldn't move. I was rooted to the spot as Mr. Rollins stared at me through his busted door. We locked eyes, and I poured every ounce of hate that I carried inside into that one look.
"You're gonna pay for that, you little fucking bitch."
I was shaking with fear, with rage.
"Fuck you, you stupid, worthless piece of shit."
He lunged for me, and I felt pain around the edges of the rage. I fought him as the shouting got closer, as the sirens finally cut through the night, as the tree frogs stopped. Snap.
23. "I'm not done with you yet, Lucian."
"Hold your damn horses, I'm coming."
The irritated voice on the other side of the door did nothing to calm me. She was here. She was fine. Which meant she'd snuck out on me like I was some shameful one-night stand that she didn't want sticking around for breakfast. Sloane Walton was about to learn a very serious lesson.
The front door swung open, and I enjoyed the flicker of shock on her pretty face. She was wearing a robe. Her hair was damp, and her face free of last night's makeup. She looked young and fresh and nervous. Had she tried to wash away what we'd done like it had never happened? I hadn't. I woke to a bed full of pillows and no Sloane. 5 minutes later, I was in the car. I slapped a hand to the open door in case she thought about shutting it in my face. What are you doing here? Did I leave something? I'm not done with you yet. I'd fucked her into the early hours of the morning until neither of us could move. Then I'd fallen asleep with her back pressed to my front, my face in her hair, and slept like the dead. When I woke, there was one clear thought in my head. Sloane wasn't out of my system. Excuse me? Her squeak was indignant and accompanied by a dangerous narrowing of the eyes as she took immediate offense. We were both poised to fight. However, our bodies seemed to have different ideas. One second, I was standing on her I'm probably reading welcome mat. The next, I was crossing the threshold and hitching her up with one hand on her curvy little ass. She wrapped her legs around my hips and speared her fingers into my hair, pulling my head down to hers. Her mouth found mine, and a bolt of relief sliced through me. She still wanted me. That was all that mattered. One more time. That was what we needed. Then it would be out of our systems. I kicked the door closed and spun around to press her against the wall. A picture frame tilted, then smashed to the ground. Sorry, I muttered against her mouth and whirled us away from the wall. I needed to find a place to pin her down, hold her still, to make her stay. But she was already frantically working the buttons of my shirt free, and I knew there was no chance in hell that I was going to make it upstairs to her bedroom. I dragged her robe open and threw it on the floor. Underneath, she was wearing one of those lacy bra tops that did nothing to hide the pucker of her nipples from my ravenous gaze. I'd barely registered the small purple bruise just above her nipple when she shoved a hand between us and found my belt buckle with a triumphant cry. God, I wanted her. I craved her hands on me, her pleading whimpers of please and more in my ear. I needed to be inside her again. I stumbled into the family room, bumping an end table and knocking over a lamp in my haste. The shade popped off and fell to the floor.
It's fine, I hate that lamp, Sloane said against my mouth as she went to work on my fly.
I kicked the coffee table out of the way, spilling a pile of paperbacks onto the floor. My shins finally met an appropriate flat surface, the couch. We landed like a felled tree, with me barely managing to cushion our fall. Her hands abandoned my zipper and gripped my shirt. Something hissed, and a flash of gray and white fur darted over the cushion onto the console table behind the couch. I didn't care if it was a cat, a rat, or a possum. Nothing was more important than stripping Sloane naked. My tongue plundered while I shoved the waistband of her underwear down her legs. Her frame was so small and delicate, yet her curves were tantalizing. That smooth, ivory skin begged for my hands to cruise, to stroke, to nip. I buried one hand in that beautiful fucking hair and sent the other diving between her legs, decadently wet. I'd touched her 60 seconds ago, and her pussy was already ready for me. My cock gave another convulsive twitch, and I felt a hot burst of moisture flow from the tip. We were making a mistake, I knew it, but I couldn't stop myself. She whimpered against my mouth and gripped my hair with one hand while the other one tried to shove my shirt off my shoulder. I wanted to go slower this time, but anger and desire had blended into an adrenaline-fueled cocktail in my blood.
You'd better have a condom somewhere on your body, she said, nipping at my lower lip.
On a growl, I reared up and reached for my wallet in my pants pocket.
Oh, thank God, she breathed,
when I yanked the foil packet free and tossed the wallet in the direction of the coffee table. She shoved my pants down to my thighs as I shredded the foil. I was on my knees between her legs, and she was spread out under me like a sacrifice. This is the last time, I said, as much for my own benefit as hers.
Yes, yes, yes,
she chanted as I took my throbbing dick in one hand. Sloane snatched the condom from me and rolled it on, gliding it down my erection. "So impatient," I said on a groan. My vision started to go dark when she gripped me at the root and squeezed. "Last time," she repeated. "Might as well get it over with." I was going to ruin her for all future partners. That was my new goal in life. I snatched at the spaghetti straps of her top, dragging them down her shoulders, trying to restrain myself from breaking the delicate threads. Then, with one swift yank, I bared the breasts that I knew would haunt my dreams forever.
"Now, Lucian, now, please, baby," she demanded.
I couldn't have stopped myself even if I'd wanted to, not after knowing what awaited me between her legs. I guided my swollen crown to her glistening entrance, notched it into place, and with one mean thrust, I embedded myself inside her. She screamed, and I let out a guttural yell. I hadn't prepared her for it. I hadn't softened up her sex with foreplay and teasing. I'd battered my way in, and now she was holding me in a grip so tight it stole my breath. "Breathe, baby," I said through gritted teeth. "You need to relax." If she didn't, I was going to humiliate myself. Her eyelids fluttered open, and jade green eyes stared up at me.
"Don't hold back on me," she said.
I pressed my lips to her throat. "You have to relax. Make room for me, Pixie."
"I hate how you feel so fucking good."
It nearly made me smile through the agony of holding still. I pulled out a few inches, reveling in the slick, wet slide of her flesh against mine. "You'll hate it even more when you have all of me." She hitched her thighs higher around my waist and squeezed. Her groan was an exquisite torture to my ears.
"Here, I thought Lucian Rollins just took what he wanted."
"I don't want to hurt you," I reminded her.
"Then please me," she demanded.
With that, she reached around me and sank her nails into my ass cheeks.